Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
As you think about your life in Christ, how would you define yourself? Do you see yourself as a fan or as a follower? To begin with, there's nothing wrong with being a fan, that is, one who loves the Lord and is drawn to the Lord and enjoys being with the Lord. But God expects us to have a greater relationship with Him than a fan-type relationship. He wants us to be a true, sincere follower of the Lord. There's a stark difference between the two. A follower is one who lives their life focused fully upon God. They strive each day to comply with, to walk in line with, the role model that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. They do all that is within their power to do, to serve God faithfully and to worship God according to the pattern that He prescribes. But then in like figure, when it comes to their interaction with our fellow man, they are engaged in reaching out with their love for these souls, as what Jesus Himself was. Now, on the other hand, a fan professes a belief in God and even perhaps a relationship with Jesus Christ. These individuals, though, as you consider their life, really and truly, they are in love with the idea about a relationship with Christ and not necessarily truly in love with the Lord. You see, as we look at our life, the Lord expects us to define the relationship that we have with God. I remember whenever Dawn and I were dating, and I've heard others talk about whenever they were dating, there came that critical point in your dating experience where you were to define as to the way in which you felt about the other individual. And that defining moment says a lot. It says whether or not you are really and truly committed. It says whether or not your love is to the level that the one would require of you. As we think about defining our relationship with God, there are some big questions that I want to pose for our consideration tonight. Is your love for God to the level that He requires and that would be pleasing to Him? I'm not talking about with the way in which you look to your love, but as you read about the love that we must have for God in the Scripture, does your love for God align with that? I'm also not asking, do you consider your love to be parallel, equal with, or greater than the love that you see others have for God? I'm asking this on a personal level. Where is your love for God? Is it to the point that it is pleasing and acceptable to God? But then another question. Do you truly live for heaven? You see, I speak about from time to time our pursuit of heaven. And a pursuit means is that we're constantly looking for and longing for that day in which Christ will return and we will stand before God in judgment and hear those words enter in, my good and faithful servant, for a deed that is well done. As you look to the way in which you're living your life, are you really and truly living in a way that says, I want to go to heaven above anything else that I had in the forefront of my life? In that, am I giving God 100% of all that I have 100% of the time? And that doesn't mean that we can't go off and to do some fun things in life. I believe that God expects us to have some downtime, if you would. But even during those downtime moments, are we really and truly 100% focused upon our God? You see, our level of commitment is crucial to God. Take into consideration some passages of Scripture that I have on the PowerPoint. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, in all things He might have preeminence. Preeminence means to be first, to be above all. And in this, I want us to focus in on what is stated here. He says, in all things, not in part, but in all things, in every aspect of life, He is to have the preeminence. Also, though, I want to draw our attention to Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. In the context here, the Lord identifies is that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And again, loving God is significant, but understand what He says. He says, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with every fiber of our being. You see, God wants us to sacrifice ourselves each and every day of our life in service to Him with all that we have. That's the level of commitment that God is looking for from you and me. Yet at the same time, sadly, several only attain a fan-based relationship. You see, the parable of the sower helps us to understand this even during the life of Christ. Jesus taught that there would be individuals who would receive the Word, but yet at the same time, it would not take root. Why? Because of the faith or lack of faith that these people would have in their life for the Lord, and because of a lack of faith or commitment, they would eventually fall away from serving God. And from the context of our Scripture reading, from the book of Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27, as well as the context later on in verses 57 through 62, we identify here with this individual from time to time as God speaks about the cost of discipleship. And in that context of verses 57 through 62, He invites individuals to be His disciple. And one man seems really committed. He says, "I want to follow You, but let me first go bury the dead." And Jesus says, "Let the dead bury the dead." Another individual expresses an interest, a desire to follow Him, but he says, "I have friends, I have family who's back at my house. Let me first go bid them farewell." And Jesus identifies that these individuals needed to understand the seriousness, the importance of putting Him first. That's what discipleship is really and truly all about. It's laying aside all matters, anything that can beset us or set us off course of being able to be identified as a true follower of God. You see, Christ wants us to be devoted disciples unto Him. The Scripture there, as was read for our reading a moment ago by David, indicates that we must lose our life in order to gain it. We must lose ourselves in a cause that we see is much greater than any other cause upon the face of this earth. And friends, that cause is what Jesus Christ our Lord died for. It's what He shed His blood for you and me and our salvation and our hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with our God. And God wants you and me as disciples, as followers of the Lord, to be committed to the same level, if you would, as what Christ demonstrated even to the point of His death on the cross. You see, God also wants us to own the reality of what it is that we find. To begin with, obeying Christ in baptism is essential. It is necessary. It is what God requires of us in order for you and me to have our sins remitted or forgiven. But at the same time, it doesn't seal the deal. In this, the Bible identifies for us is that we need, after baptism, to continue to pay attention to our lives, to examine the Scripture, and to make application each and every day to our lives in order for us to walk worthy of the calling of which we have been called. You see, God wants us to abound more and more in our faith, as well as is our involvement in the works of the church. You see, as God looks at you and me and our commitment, whether we're a fan or a follower, faithfulness to God requires honesty with ourselves. I'm reminded of what Jesus teaches us in the book of Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through verse 32, the parable of the prodigal son. We know the context. The young man demanded of the father his portion of the inheritance, even though the father is still alive, and he wants to go out and to live his life however he so chooses. And the father bids him what it is that he requests. He gives him his portion of the inheritance. He goes out. He wastes his portion away to the point to where he finds himself in want. A young Jewish man feeding swine at the very bottom of the barrel. And the Scripture says something very significant to our lesson tonight. What is that? He came to himself. He saw the situation that he was in. And God wants us to examine ourselves and to come to the reality as to the situation that we are in. And in this then, The man reasoned within himself. I can stay here and die, or I can swallow my pride. I can admit that I am wrong and go back to my father's house. And even if I'm a lowly servant in my father's house, that's much better than where I currently am. You know, the prodigal son's not the only one who had to deal with the situation that he was in. The Apostle Paul, didn't he also? This man had risen above many of his contemporaries. And as we think about him, he did all that he did with a clear conscience, thinking that he was right, pleasing, and acceptable to God. But yet at the same time, as Jesus appeared on the road to Damascus unto this man in the book of Acts chapter 9, as it is recorded for us, we find is that he was shaken. He had laid before him that the assurance that he thought that he had, the hope that he felt so confident with, it was not right. Why? Because he was an opponent of God. And in this, friends, we find is that he was shaken and then he was awakened. And it's whenever he accepted or owned responsibility for where he was able to go on and to serve God like no other that we read of in the New Testament Scripture. You see, God identifies for us that complacency is one of Satan's many deceptions. The saved, those of us who are true followers of the Lord, Satan doesn't give up on us, does he? He is constantly looking for our weaknesses, and he's working through the world to draw us away from God, to pull our faith away to the lost. Even to those individuals who think that they're okay, but yet at the same time they've never considered the idea, am I a follower or am I a fan? To those who would fit into that category of being a fan, Satan wants you to believe that you're good to go. He doesn't want you to think about, oh, what is my level of commitment to the Lord? But God commissions us time and time again to consider our lives. You see, godly sorrow results in true discipleship. What is godly sorrow? Godly sorrow is where we truly repent, to turn away from our sin. And in repenting of our sins, we refocus our lives to walk in newness of life, to no longer live for ourselves, to no longer live like the world, but rather to say, I'm going to serve God, and nothing, no one's going to get in my way of being able to accomplish this. Yet at the same time, tonight you may be sitting here saying, how can I tell? What are some key indicators as to if I am a fan or a follower of the Lord? To begin with, the one who is a fan of the Lord says what the heart feels, but at the same time, there's a lack of follow-through. You see, follow-through in life is extremely important. In the home, following through with the commitments that we make, following through with what it is that we say we're going to do is important. It communicates to our spouse and to our family, I'm in this and I'm 100% in it. It's not only important in our homes, it's important in business. It's important for businesses whenever they say that they're going to deliver a product, that they deliver that product, and then that they follow up on that product to make sure that the customer's happy with it. It's also important with sports. It's been a long time since I've played golf, and I think probably the last time I did it was with TJ and Taylor, and I see them both back there smiling. You remember when I hit the tree, right? You're supposed to hit the ball and go forward, and I hit the ball, and we're all looking forward and still at the same time glance back and the ball's back behind us. TJ, I don't think I had proper follow-through. I didn't go all the way through with my shot. You see, God wants us to follow through and in life, but specifically as it would relate with our religious convictions to Him. And yet those who are fans lack a follow-through. They say things with their heart, 100%. They believe it, but still at the same time, they don't show that with their lives. At the same time, we'll find a fan who says, I want to know Scripture, but yet at the same time, seldom do we find them engaged in study. If we want to drive a car, kids, what do you have to do? You say, well, I've got to do driver's ed. That's important. What does that entail? It requires us to study for that. if we want to drive a car, we've also have a manual. I guess we still use this down at the license branch. A manual. You've got to study. You've got to know that from front to back. And then you go and you take your test. And if you've never studied it, chances are you're not going to do very well. You're not going to get your license to drive. If we want to graduate from high school or from college, we must study. You say, what are you saying? Study, study, study is what God expects of us. And a fan says, I want to know Scripture. And they may occasionally engage in personal study of Scripture, but at the same time, the Bible becomes just an item that lays around or a dust collector throughout the course of the week. And true children of God, followers of God, understand the significance of studying the Scripture every single day, as the Bereans did in the first century. You see, also a fan is an individual who feels that worship is vital, but it's not necessarily a priority in their life. Why do I say this? We see from time to time individuals who say, I want to worship God. And they will get really worked up about it, to the point to where they say, you know, I'm going to make sure that I follow through with it this time. Yet at the same time, they only show up once a month. Or they'll show up and just to the morning service. And I want someone to show me some time in Scripture where the morning service is any more important than the evening service. I don't read that in the Scripture. Coming together as God's people is vital at every opportunity. Now, there are things that certainly hinder us if we're sick or if we're working and things of that nature. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about times where that we are in control of the situation to where we could be and should be, but yet at the same time, we do not. A fan says that it's vital to worship God, but still, it's not a priority in their life. Also, a fan would be an individual who would think of others. They're not just an introvert. They're looking out from time to time. Yet, as they're looking out, they say, you know, this would be good for me to go in to do this or that. There's a true need over here. And wouldn't it be great if somebody would just go in to help that situation? But they themselves won't. It's not that they can't. Financially, God only obligates us to do what we can. In regard to going and doing, He only expects us to go in to do if the opportunity is there. But these individuals are the people who say, there's a need that's arisen, but yet at the same time, I won't, simply because I choose not to. Yet at the same time, the Bible identifies to us some trends that we see to be characteristic as the context reveals from the book of Luke chapter 9 verses 23 and following about a true follower of the Lord. A true follower of the Lord has a genuine desire to follow Christ at all times. In this, I looked up the word desire or desires. And in the original language, it's one thing that someone wishes for. And we can relate with that. Around Christmas time, there's a lot of wish lists, right? People are hoping for this or for that. And desire can carry that connotation or meaning with it. It goes on to say a want. But here's something a little more significant, I think, to our understanding of what God says. It's a will. And God has a will for us, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. Will is His desire. And He's initiated, He's put forth everything that He is expected of Him to do in order for us to have that hope of salvation. And our desire must be the will that is within us to say, I'm going to follow God with every power that is within my being, to make sure that I am the type of person that He expects of me. But then also, the context of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 says is that we must have a willingness to deny our selfish desires. The original language in regard to deny is to disregard. And that said something to me as I was studying through for the lesson tonight. To disregard means that we recognize that there are selfish tendencies about us. And when we are in a particular situation or setting, we would say, this sounds pretty good to me. But then to disregard it means to say it's not necessarily what I should do, so therefore I'm going to set it over here. But there's another understanding to this word, deny. It is to renounce or to reject. Not just to set it aside, but to say, that's crazy, I can't go and do this or that. I can't be acting like this. The Lord wants more of me than what I'm giving. I've got to give my all in order to please God, and therefore we renounce our selfish desires to go on in our commitment, in our pleasing God at all times. You see, the follower is an individual that has a commitment to take up the cross daily. To take up the cross, from the original language, means to lift it up. And I think about Christ when He was lifted up, at least in part. But the idea in regard to us taking up our cross means that we are to live for Him. He doesn't call upon us to die. Now, that might come to that, and we've got to be committed to that very end. But what He identifies in the context is living for Him and dying in Him. And yet to understand is that there are some difficult things that we've got to go through. That's what the cross entails, as well as there may be some shameful things. We are never to be ashamed of the Lord. But the world may look at us in a manner of disdain and shame based out of our commitment and relationship with God, and that's part of taking up our cross. Note, though, there's a word there I want us to focus particularly on, and that is daily. Here's what it means. Daily, from the original language, is from sunrise to sunset. Lifting up or taking up the cross from sunrise until sunset. That's the level of commitment that the Lord requires. And those individuals who seek to do this in their life is more than a fan. They are a follower of the Lord. And as it doesn't mean that we don't have an occasional fall, it doesn't mean that we live a perfect life, but it means that we keep on keeping on. It means that we keep on going to God and asking for His forgiveness, and we keep on striving for perfection that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, as we think about following the Lord and following Him faithful, I want to end the way in which I began. A follower is one who loses themselves in a cause that is much greater than themselves. They lose themselves in a cause that is the greatest cause of all. Friends, Christ did that, and He calls upon us to do the same, to forget about ourselves, to put aside the world, and to embrace Him and to work faithfully in the kingdom to the glory of our God. Are you a fan or a follower? Tonight, the invitation is open to those to make disciples of all mankind. And if you're outside of the body of Christ, we want to invite you with the Lord's invitation to become one of His children. If you've never submitted yourself to be baptized, we want to encourage you tonight to confess Christ and then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're here and you have found either denied, or maybe you've already drawn the conclusion, I need to have a stronger relationship with God, if we can pray for you or with you as a erring brother or sister, or weak brother or sister, we'd love to be able to do that tonight.